Well, I was in a bank just recently and walked up to the teller's station, and they had a big TV screen up there that you can look at. And this particular bank, it was highlighting one of the workers, and I had to wait for the teller, so I was reading different tidbits about him. And one of the things that it said was, "What was your favorite book?" And the response from this individual that worked at the bank said, "The Book of Proverbs." And said that they were going to endeavor to read it again this month or this Christmas season or something. But I was impressed by that that's what they would respond, that there's a lot of good word in Proverbs. I tell you, if we would read a proverb a day, you could get through a month and read them all and then just start over again, because God's wisdom is abounding. So let's go there to chapter 4. We want to start there tonight. I want to give you some nuggets of wisdom to bless you for coming out tonight. It's cold out there, and you could have stayed home by the fire. It looks like a lot of people did. I know I had a crew over at the house today, and they said they might not make it tonight because they were wrapping up some painting that they didn't want to. So I'm believing that when I get there in the morning, it'll all be done. But anyway, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." So there's four instructions there. Give attention, listen to what he says, keep it before your eyes, and keep it in the midst of your heart. Verse 22 tells you why you do this. He says, "For they are life to those who find them." Life to find what? His words. His word truly is life. And he says, "And health to all their flesh." So there's another healing scripture right there. But I want to key in on verse 23. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence." Keep your heart with all diligence. The implied subject here is you. You are to keep your heart with all diligence. I want to talk to you tonight about diligence, or a diligent heart. We're living in a day, and I don't know if there ever was a day where you could really be a casual Christian and really live in victory, or live in success, or have the abundant life that Jesus said he came to give us. It's truly going to be from a diligent heart. According to Noah Webster, the word diligence means, number one, or it's been used in this application, it means a steady application in business of any kind. So a steady application of business in any kind. It's not just talking about your business, but it's talking about your business. Could be your health. A steady application in seeing God's word regarding to health. According to 3 John 2, he says, "I pray that you might prosper in all things and be in good health." But the qualification is just as your soul prospers. If your soul is your mind and your will and your emotions. You have to get your soulish realm to agree with God's word. God's word's been planted in our hearts. That's where we endeavor to put it when we hear it, when we see it, keep it before our eyes. And then it says, put it in the midst of your heart, right there in verse 21. It says that it's life to you and it's health. But he says, he goes on to say, you have to keep your heart with all diligence. So here he's telling us that he desires that we prosper. He desires that we live in good health. But it's going to be dependent on how well you take God's word and get it into your heart. Because then Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So you wake up in the morning and you have a headache. The first thing you're inclined to do is speak the word. Speak the word over that thing. Say, "No, no, you don't, Mr. D. You're not putting that on me." And, sometimes it's not always Mr. D, the devil, that, you can point a finger to. If we don't take good care of our bodies, we can bring things on us. So there's natural things, and the book of Proverbs is full of natural wisdom for us to do. Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we do need to take care of our bodies. If you just, you know, this time of year go out without dressing warm and you're hanging around people that are sick and sneezing and everything, you know, you're probably going to catch some of these germs and they're going to start doing some things. But we can take God's word as medicine, and we can take medicine ahead of time to preventive medicine. Amen. So don't always have to be taking God's word to get rid of a situation. We could be proactive and take it to keep something from coming on us. So keep your heart with all diligence. Another of Noah Webster's usages of the word diligence is constant in effort to accomplish something undertaken. Constant in effort. So your effort is constant. It doesn't stop. It doesn't just come to church on Sunday and you say, well, you know, church is over. Now that's it for the week. So many people, you know, we call them Sunday Christians, but yet they're the ones that all week long have got problems. You've got to have a constant diet or be diligent with God's word coming into your heart. And so, again, diligence is constant in effort. Whose effort? It's our effort, each individual, to accomplish what is undertaken. I read this and it was worthy of writing down. Diligence is the philosopher's stone that turns everything to gold. You can apply that to your health. You can apply that to your family, your relationships. Diligence. So diligence in what? Diligence in applying God's word to your life. Diligence in applying God's word to your life. In Proverbs chapter 10, since we're in Proverbs, let's just look at a couple more here. I like to refer to the Proverbs as golden nuggets. In the 10th chapter and verse 4, it says here, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. That's good instruction there. The hand of the diligent makes rich. Anything we undertake to do, if we're constant in effort to accomplish it, that's called diligence. Here, it says that's going to make rich. Again, it could refer to finances. It could refer to your health. But the bottom line is, or the end result is, you're going to be blessed with something that's good when you apply God's word to it. In chapter 12 of Proverbs, verse 24, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. The hand of the diligent will rule. You know, we just had an election here a month ago, and we need to be diligent to get out and vote, because it says right here, the hand of the diligent will rule. Well, who do we want to put into office? Supposedly people that are going to be believing God's word, you know, godly people. Why? Because they're the ones that end up making the laws that we have to submit to, that live under. And so we want to be involved in that. I think the church has been removed from it. I think that they've bought the lie over the years that, you know, you got to separate the church from the state, you know. That's a lie. That's from the devil. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that God places kings in places, but it's up to the people in this country. We're in a free country. So we need to be voting, and we need to be understanding what's going on. What's going on behind those closed doors? What are the bills that they're bringing up and ultimately passing? So we want to be mindful of that. Hebrews, turn over to Hebrews with me. Again, we're talking about diligence. We're finishing up the year 2018 and coming into a new year. I think we ought to be, looking at what God's got prepared for us, both in our personal lives, in our jobs, in our relationships and whatnot. But I think we need to maybe apply some diligence this year, this coming year, when maybe we didn't, if you can look at something in 2018 that maybe didn't work out quite well, you know, kind of go over it and give it an assessment. I do that with my life and say, what could I have done better? And I write them down. And then my wife does too, and she tells me what I could have done better. But bless her, she loves me, and you know, we want to attain to do better next year than we did last year. We want to grow. You can't stay stagnant. You can't stay status quo. Here's the reason why, because there's always information coming at you. If you're not diligent to have God's word come at you, then something else is coming in. Something else is going to get into an abundance in your heart, and that's what's going to come out. In a situation, you're going to have a bunch of junk coming out. You might get all fretful and concerned and full of anxiety. Well, it's because you haven't put the word of God in. Because the word says, you cast your care. And that's one of the pieces of advice I have to give people on a regular basis. You've got to learn to cast your care. I have to do the same thing. Things come at you and you don't like them. But you know what? In our own physical strength, we can't change much of anything. But we can. Is that so? We can't change much of anything. But I tell you what, with the Spirit of God, hearing the voice of God, with the Word of God, we can do all things according to God Himself. All things are possible to him who believes. And so we want to be diligent about the new year. I'm making a conscious effort to read more, to get into the Word of God more. And I like seeing that about Proverbs because there's so much wisdom there. And it's not enough to just, you know, and I don't try to read a whole lot. It's just like go over it and over it. Let one verse drop in your heart. And let it begin to change your life, because that's what it's designed to do. So Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder. Look at this. He's a rewarder of who? Those who diligently seek him. So he's not a rewarder of those that just casually. That's why I started out saying you can't be a casual Christian and have the blessings of God abounding in your life. It's not going to happen. God's word, his blessings are conditional. They're really conditional upon one thing, our obedience. God is looking for an obedient people. And so, you know, you can blow smoke and you can fool man or woman, but you're not fooling God. And he's the one that's pouring out the blessings. So says here, it's impossible to please him without faith. And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So if there's no faith coming, then we're not pleasing him. If there's no faith coming, guess what? There's no word coming. If there's no word coming, then there's no abundance of word in us, and we're not going to bring forth those things that produce fruit that we diligently should be attaining. And so we're going to have to be diligent, or we're going to have to be constant in effort. We're going to have a steady application of God's word in our life, and that means every day. We're not just Sunday and Wednesday Christians here. We've got to be everyday Christians. Jesus said, if you abide in me, that means if you live in me and my words, and it's a conjunction, it's both of them, and my words abide in you, then you'll ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. But it's conditional upon us abiding in him and then his words abiding in us. And that's not just every time you come to church. That's every day of every month, of every week. It's how we live. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Matter of fact, turn to the Gospel of John with me. I probably had written, here's another one, abiding in Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, that word if, just two letters, but it makes it conditional, doesn't it? If you abide in my word, what if you don't abide in his word? You can't claim the same result as if you do. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, And look at what the truth does. It'll make you free. It'll make you free in your finances. It'll make you free in your health. It'll make you free in relationships with your kids, with your spouse. God's word abiding in you is going to make you free. And then verse 36, you know, most of us can quote this one. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. We got to take that to heart and really believe it. If we really believe it, we'll get into his word. Can you tell I'm a big word guy? Because Jesus is a big word guy, because Jesus is the word. And he said there's no other way to the Father. So we want to key in on what he says. Abide, I looked that up in Noah Webster's dictionary, the dictionary of 1812. And abide means to continue. It means to stand firm. It means to continue permanently or in the same state. So perpetually we continue in his word. That's from here until when we leave planet Earth, whether it be catching up in the air or whether we go, you know, when we breathe our last breath. And then abide also means to be firm and immovable. So we want to abide in his word. That's what a diligent heart will do. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is being diligent with the word of God. Let's look at the book of Joshua, back in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And look at the instruction that God gave to Joshua. I'm going to start in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. So now he's telling to be strong and courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn to the right from it, do not turn to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So there's the benefit for staying with the word of God, of obeying it, observing it to do it. Not just observing it and, well, I read my Bible verse. That's not what we're talking about. We're observing the word to do it. James says to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Well, why would God write that in his word? Because he must have known there would be some hearers only. They come and they hear and they get goosebumps maybe, and wow, that was great. That was great word. But then they never apply it to their life. So what good does it do? It does no good. You might as well have just stayed home and watched the Three Stooges if you're never going to apply the word of God to your life. So we really believe in the word and then applying it to our life, which means we really got to live there. And so, you know, it gets kind of quiet when you start talking about, well, we got to be kind. Yes, we have to be kind. We got to walk in love. Yes, we got to walk in love. When we talk about gossip, we don't want to be gossiping. People don't like hearing that because, you know, they've done some of that stuff. And so it steps on their toes. But you know what? God can heal your toes. And also, you know, if that's you, you don't have to say, ouch. Nobody will ever know it's you. Let God's word correct you. That's what part of the word is designed to do, is to correct us. So verse 8 is where I wanted to get to here. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Isn't that interesting that it's not just getting it in our heart, but it's supposed to come out our mouth? Because our mouth is the rudder of our life. It directs our life. So what you're saying is going to get you to where you're going. So all you got to do is look at somebody in their life and see where they're at. And you can see what they've probably been saying. You can see by where they're at, by what they believe. Because their belief system is going to cause them to think a certain way, to move forward towards a direction, and then it's going to come out of their mouth. And so you'll know what's in their heart. Won't take very long before what's in abundance in there is going to come out. You know, that's why, you know, out in the world, you know, people are cussing and swearing. And not that I like to hear them using, you know, Jesus' name in vain. I find it interesting that they're using his name in vain. I don't hear anybody saying, oh, Buddha. It's always Jesus Christ, isn't it? Well, because the enemy's always coming against the truth. And so, but that's what's in abundance in their heart. And if they don't know the Lord, then they're doing what their father does and encourages them to do. So we can't look down on them, so to speak. We've got to love them and share the goodness of God with them so that they'll now hear the truth and let the truth of the word begin to work in their heart. God's got to have something in somebody's heart to work with. And if you just keep telling them how bad they are, how much of a sinner they are, they're never going to know the word of God, because God's not telling us to tell them that. He's telling us to love them. He's telling us to bring them the gospel truth. And so we need to take heed to what God is giving us to do. But he says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then is after you have kept the word of God in your mouth, you meditate on it so that it's in abundance in your heart. Now it's coming out. It says, now you may observe to do it according to all that's written. For then you, notice it says you will make yourself prosperous. Didn't say God will make you prosperous. He's the one behind it, but you have to activate it. I like to say it that way. You have to activate it in order to bring it to pass in your life. If you don't, it won't. If you don't, it won't. Even though it's the sovereign will of God that you be healed, if you won't take hold of the word of God and activate it, even though it's God's will that you be healed, you won't be healed. Now, can God just on his own heal somebody? Absolutely, he's God. But that's not how he has instructed us to live. He instructed us, I mean, we saw over in Proverbs there, that certain putting the word in us is health to our flesh. Well, so there's instruction for us on us putting the word in, we get the health. It didn't say that you could just be lazy and it'll automatically happen, did it? No, we have to be diligent. Which is right back to the message tonight, a diligent heart. So he says, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You see, the world can, there's people in the world that don't know God that are successful in what they're doing. Successful at attaining money, successful in attaining fame. You know, Tom Brady's a real good football player. People in movies, you know, they gain success, but they haven't obtained good success. Because God says it's when you get his word in your heart and coming out your mouth that you'll have good success. I'm just so blessed when I see football players that they get down on their knee and they pray before a game. And then you talk to them. Some of them have written books and some of them have been in movies and some of them have been on shows, and they share. It's about Jesus, they say. They give all their glory to God for their talent that they have as a football or a basketball player or whatever it be. And it's just such a blessing that they're not so consumed with the fame of the sports figure or the Hollywood, you know, figure, but they're willing to share that it's God is behind it. Amen? So we want to meditate on it day and night. Colossians chapter 1, I'll give you a few more golden nuggets tonight. So these are some of the scriptures that I'll write out on index cards, you know, and put them out and, you know, over the years. And, you know, I'll spend months, you know, getting them into me. And then I'll go on to some others. But my wife's been on it. She's put a lot up this Christmas season. And I stop and read hers. And they're good. It's all the words. So, but we've been talking about next year, and we've got more times that we're going to be sitting down and talking about, you know, what do we want next year? It's going to be up to me to receive what I want, but I'm going to have to do some things in cooperating with God to bring them to pass. I can't just sit and say, well, we'll just wait and see what happens. No, God never tells us to just wait and see what happens. He wants us to be proactive with his word and proactive with our lives. and he'll put you before people that are going to be a part of that plan for your life in 2019. So hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit is extremely critical. So Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. He's talking about we've been reconciled through Jesus Christ to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Positionally, that's where we are. We are holy, we're blameless, and we're above reproach because we're in Christ. Verse 23, it goes on to say, if indeed you continue in the faith. So there's something to be said about staying in the place where God wants us, that we have a part to play there. It's if you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. See, it's going to take diligence to do that. Grounded and steadfast. He's talking about if you continue in the faith. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Grounded in the word of God. Steadfast, you need to not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. So you can't be moved away from the hope of the gospel, the good news regarding healing, regarding prosperity, regarding operating out of the spirit with love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness. Those are all fruit of the spirit which we are supposed to be allowing to flow out of us each and every day. And so he says here that if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded, steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. Steadfast means firm. It means fixed. It means established. It means not changing. It means not wavering. Remember over in James talks about wavering. If you're going to ask God for something, you've got to ask in faith, not wavering. And he goes on to say, what happens to the one that wavers? Goes back and forth. He says, let not him think he'll receive anything. See, God's word is not on a scale. He's not, in college or in high school, the teacher would scale the test. If everybody flunked, well, that doesn't look good. So we got to, now 100 is really 60, but that's not the way it is with God's word. You're either going to be in faith or you're not going to be in faith. You're either going to obtain by faith or you're not going to obtain because you're not in faith. It's really pretty black and white. It's pretty easy. So we want to be diligent to stay in faith. Remember in Hebrews 11:6, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we have to be diligent at seeking him each and every day. Hebrews chapter 10. There's a scripture. Verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. He's talking about do not cast off your faith, because your faith has a great reward. Being in faith will always bring God's blessing or bring God's supply to you. Being out of faith will not draw that to you. So we have to be careful not to cast away our confidence. What are some of the ways that we could lose our confidence? Well, fear is one. When a situation arises and fear comes in, that fear, fear is a spirit. It's designed to get you out of faith. It's designed to get your eyes off God and on the problem. It's designed to get you to fail and not win and not have victory. So fear is one way that you could cast away your confidence. Another way would be doubt and unbelief. Well, why would you be in doubt and unbelief? Faith comes by hearing, so you've got to be hearing enough of the word to keep faith activated. The faith I had 6 months ago for something I was believing for, I use my faith. I've got to get more faith now for today for the situation at hand. We can't just get fat in faith and say, I'm going to study for all these years, but never apply it, never use it. How would you ever know if faith actually worked? You just, oh, I believe the word, I believe the word. But here's the thing. Believing the word is only half of it. It's only half the transaction. A coin has two different sides, a heads and a tail. If you took a grinding wheel and ground off the face of it and then went to the store and tried to use it and they saw that it was all smooth and there was no heads, they wouldn't accept it. They'd say, you messed with it. Well, that's because that's half of it. The tails is intact, but the heads is not. So it's not spendable. So here's the thing with our faith. Our believing is the first part of it. Our faith is acting on what we believe. Acting on what we believe. If you really believe that, then you're going to do something or you're going to say something. If I really believe that by the stripes that Jesus bore, I'm healed, then I'm going to believe it. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to act as though it were true. Really, that's the greatest compliment you could pay God, is just believing what he says and taking it at his word, taking him at his word. That's really what faith is. It's acting on what you believe, but so you have to believe it, but then you have to do something with what you believe. I believe the scriptures, therefore now I'm going to do what the scripture says to do. So therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. See, not everybody wants to hear that, but you have need of endurance. We have to endure. You know, we can't get to a hard situation and then roll over and play dead. The devil doesn't. So he says, for you have need of endurance so that after you have done something you have to do, the will of God, you may receive the promise. Everything that God has promised in his word, we're going to have to receive it by faith. Faith is going to be necessary. Faith is like, you know, we use money currency to purchase things. In the spirit realm, in God's kingdom, the way we purchase things, just so you can get an illustration and understand it, is by our faith. Our faith is spendable in heaven. Our faith is you can pull it out of heaven, or you can take it out of the spirit realm and bring it into the physical realm. God's word inside of you. But you have to stick with it. You have to be diligent. I've said it before, and I bet people have maybe taken it the wrong way. If you need an automobile, you can get one by faith, but you're going to have to be diligent about it. You can't, I did it for 2 days, believe in God, and I didn't see the car. Where's the car? No, now you have doubt and unbelief coming up in you because I didn't see it. Well, I would question, did you really believe it in your heart? Because if you believe it in your heart, you're not going to change what you say. That's how you can tell when somebody really wasn't in faith. See, they can tell you, like I said, words are cheap. You can convince a man or a woman that you're saying something, but you're not going to fool God. God knows if you really believe it in your heart. If I believe it in my heart, I'm never going to say anything contrary to what his word says. Come hell or high water, come the circumstance doesn't look like it's working out. Just because it doesn't look like it's working out, it didn't look like it was working out for Jesus. He died on the cross, didn't he? Yeah. And everybody around observed, and they all thought, this is not working out. This is not what we expected. We were with him for 3.5 years, the ones that were with him, and look what happened. He done and went and died on us. It's not working out. They saw him die. But, with God, but. Let God be God. On the third day, Jesus comes walking back around, showed himself before a whole lot of people. See, just because it looked like it wasn't working out, even though somebody did die, you know what? It didn't move Jesus with Jairus. His little girl died before Jesus could get there. She died, and they came and told him, don't even trouble the master anymore. Jesus immediately says to Jairus, don't be afraid. There's the fear. Don't be afraid. Only keep on believing. Doesn't matter if you got the letter in the mail. believe, who are you trusting? We've got to do it 100%. We're all in for God. It can't be just when it's convenient for me. You know, it's so easy to be a Christian when everything's going right. I tell you what I'm talking about tonight, the diligent part, that's what you're going to need to give you that endurance, which we just read about, to keep you in faith, to obtain what you need. Now you get to determine what outcome you have. The outcome is not left up to God to decide. He already gave that. He told us in Deuteronomy 30. Matter of fact, let's just go there. We need to put our eyeballs on it and see what he said. I quoted a lot. First off, in verse 19 of Deuteronomy 30, God says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses. So he's saying, look, this is witness before heaven and before earth today against you that I've set before you. God's put something before you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Then he said, therefore, I'm going to choose for you. No, he didn't say that. He tells you what to choose, but the choosing is still up to you. The choosing is still up to you. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. What happens if you choose death? You don't get life. You get death. And you and your descendants won't live. And then he goes on to say that you might love the Lord your God, that you might obey his voice. See, it comes down to obedience. God wants us to be obedient. He wants us to be faithful. The Bible says, I think it's over in Timothy, it's required of a servant to be found faithful. That's what we look for in ministry. Is somebody going to be faithful? You know, they can talk a good talk at first, get all excited. I can't tell you how many people I've seen in the last 10 years that got excited, were all agreeing, and then pretty soon they just dissipated. Where did they go? See, they were all just operating out of their head knowledge. It looked good. It seemed good. They never got hold of it in their hearts. See, I had to, the vision God gave me, he put in my heart. I have to present it so people will get it in their heart. Once you get it in your heart, it's in there. The devil's not going to take it out. But too many people don't get it in there to begin with. And like I said, on the surface, it looks good. They're with you, 110%, brother. and then they're gone. You say, where have they been? Oh, yeah, they're going to that church down the street. And then 2 years later, I'm thinking of a couple now. They've been to probably 8 churches since we started this one. They came here for a year, went up the street for a year, went down there for a year. They're just bopping all over the place. Bible says in the end times, people will be looking for places because they have itching ears. They want to go places where they hear what they want to hear instead of hearing what they need to hear. You know, I told my kids, you need to eat your vegetables. You can't just eat the desserts. You've got to learn to have the meat and the vegetables because it's important for your body to grow. So I didn't just give them sweets. You know, they didn't always like it. But was it necessary? Was it important? Are they glad now that they're adults and they have kids? Are they glad now that they ate their carrots? Are they glad now that they brushed their teeth? And as adults have good teeth, you know, so many things that you know, you can look at God's word and then training a child, you can kind of see the parallel. But we as adults, even though I've been saved all these years, I still have to daily take up God's word and apply it to my life. I can't say, oh, well, I learned that. You know, interesting because, you know, every now and then you'll have somebody, well, I went to Bible school. It's like, well, big deal. You went to Bible school 35 years ago. So what? Guess what? I didn't go to Bible school, but I'm still in the Bible every single day. You know, which is more important, that you went and you did something? Have they lived that long? They were quick to tell me that they did that, though. It's like, what good is that? What good is that? You know, that's good that you went to Bible school. I'm glad you went to Bible school, but you don't have to impress me. You know, and I don't know if that's the reason. This is somebody a long time ago that said that. But You know, what are we doing daily? How are we being diligent with God's word today? What are we doing with the talents and the giftings God's given us? Are we doing the call, fulfilling the plan that God called us to? And it's different for everybody. And when you're planted in a local church, then you're supposed to be there bringing your supply, bringing your help. It you notice the body's different and everybody has different things going on. And somebody, you know, there's a few that, you know, they really enjoy praying for people. Well, they've been stirred in their hearts, and that's one of their giftings. Others, hospitality. You know, hospitality is just as important as praying for somebody. You have to have people that are hospitable to other people. We have people coming in. Imagine if not one person wanted to have hospitality, you know. But God, see, God brings people in, and he brings the right ones at the right time. And he gets them working together. It's one thing that I love about this building project. It's far greater than just what we're seeing. It's building people's relationships. You know, I've gotten to know Ronnie so much better because I've been working with him. And he, you know, he hadn't even really come to this church. But he said, I want to help. And so that I love seeing that. I see how it's affecting people's relationships. Yes.
I say them again.
Yes.
I say them again.
Yes. Yes.
You have to
yeah.
Keep
yeah. Absolutely. You know, God spoke to me about, I called you to teach. That's all he said. Some years later, I'm in another church now, and they had a guest minister in, and it was Mary Frances. And she spoke one word over me. She came to me, as she's ministering to 100 people, she came to me, and she just said, teach. You were there. I have that recording, and I've listened to it, and I have it on a cassette tape. That's how far back that was. And then there was another, some years after that, it was another person, and they said the same thing. And that was all before God spoke to me about starting this work. He spoke to me, then he confirmed it with this one, he confirmed it with another one, he confirmed it with my pastors at the time. And then I began in youth ministry, and that's how it started. I didn't know, you know, when God said they've called you to teach, he didn't expound on it. He never said anything more. I had to take, like you said, I had to continue to water that. And then when Mary Fran said that to me, I mean, the hair just about stood up on my back. It's just like, whoa, she hears from the Lord. And I needed to hear that at that point. You know, it was years later. And so it was a period of, I mean, it was 1994 when God spoke to me. That is a long time ago. But I kept it alive, like you were just saying. It's so important. Don't give up on it. Just because you didn't see the answer today, that I didn't know what it meant. Nobody else heard it. Nobody else knew what was going on in my life. I didn't tell anybody, you know. But I knew I had an encounter with God. See, you don't want to put off those encounters. You don't want to forget them or cast away your confidence in them. They're real. The devil will try. The devil has tried to tell me, oh, did he really audibly speak to you? Well, it's none of your business, devil. It's none of your business. But he's actually said that to me. Oh, you tell people that he audibly spoke. I fell to the ground. So my body responded as if he spoke to me audibly. I'm not going to, it's not for arguing. It's only happened to me once in my entire life. So, you know, you decide. I decided that was God speaking. And I've had people over the years confirm that. And then he spoke to me and said, all right, now I want you to do this. I said, I'm not telling nobody. I said, you're going to have to tell him. He was dealing with me about starting church. I was getting, you know, when I finally did announce it, people were getting mad at me. People in the ministry, ministers. Well, what are you doing that for? In that tone of voice. It's just like, oh, I guess you're not really supporting me on this. I said, I have no other reason to tell you except God spoke to me and told me to do it. You know, I'm just the guy from Laconia High School all those years ago that couldn't do an oral report. And now you can't shut me up because God's given me what to say now. Back then, I didn't know. I'd never prepared very well for those oral reports. And I'd forget information and I'd look like an idiot. And, you know, kids would laugh at you. It's just like, that was horrible. So when God called me to teach, like, you talking to me? That wasn't making any sense. Anyway. All right. I want to finish up on this. Let's go to Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. And we'll finish on that. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 6. And I'm going to start in verse 6. It says, "Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Verse 9, "And let us not grow weary while doing good." Would you agree with me that being diligent about getting in the Word would be doing good? He says, don't grow weary. He's telling us not to grow weary in doing good because he knew and knows that you could be growing weary. It could cause you to grow weary. But he says, don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season. Say due season. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So that means you can lose heart, you can grow weary, and you can stop those things from coming to you. He says, just don't take those opportunities. Don't take those opportunities to get out of faith. Don't take those opportunities to listen to, you know, somebody that's telling you, oh, you don't believe that stuff, do you? You know, you go to church too much. You guys are labeled because you come Sunday and Wednesday. So that really is the dividing line. It was for my wife because she got saved when she was previously married and neither one of them were born again. And the husband didn't want anything to do with the church or God or anything. And he thought she was nuts. And especially when she went a second time. And then she's going to special meetings and it's just like, oh my goodness. And so he's having her investigated and you know, he's having her, you know, look like she's lost her mind. Before you hate the guy, I got to tell you, he was at my house having breakfast yesterday. My wife, Deb, shares two children with him. We've maintained good relationship. I had somebody get mad because I shared from the pulpit that I love my ex-wife. I said, well, I'm not supposed to hate her. And she came to church for quite a season. Her new husband, I led to the Lord on Easter Sunday when we were at Laconia High School. How cool is that? Well, anyway, Deb's first husband was at my house and we fed him breakfast and, you know, we got him presents and he got us stuff. And it's just like, I don't know what to say except I'm supposed to be kind towards him. I'm supposed to truly love him. He didn't have to be my best friend, but I tell you what, it comes with benefits. He owns a house in Cape Coral, Florida, and has let us stay in it before for free. Right across the street from tens of million-dollar mansions on the water. He's not on the water, but his house is across the street. Very nice neighborhood. He lets us stay there. He's got a waterfront property in York Beach. You guys think I'm crazy. Her ex-husband has a waterfront property in York Beach. He's let us stay there three times. I don't know what it costs to rent a waterfront on the ocean. It's expensive, but he blesses us. Something be said about staying, you know, not just cordial, but, you know, truly, you know, loving and not, you know, coming against and whatnot. Just been a blessing. And same with my ex-wife, you know. So many churches, I'd just be banned because I was married once before. But you know what? God's the one that got a hold of my life and did what he did with it at the time that he did. You know, every single person is at a place before they get saved. And I was saved when I got married. And my first wife was saved also. But you know what? I never inquired to marry her from God. So we got married, you know, because we fell in love. But we weren't supposed to be together. It wasn't God's divine will. And it played out, that hand played out. And so anyway, you know, I just bring that up because I have to truly be kind and walk in love, even towards an ex-wife or my wife's ex-husband. And we get along good. And they've all come. They all came to my 50th birthday party. I mean, it's just like, there were people that day said, who's that woman with the black hair that, you know, pastor was hugging? And somebody said that, well, that was his ex-wife. They got mad. They got mad because I said I loved her and they saw me hug her. It's just like, you need to get into the Word, because the Word says that we're supposed to forgive. And the Word, you know, I still share 3 children with her. And so why would I? I never did, and she never did, spoke bad of the other one to the kids. She was a Christian too. We just knew enough not to do that. And so our kids didn't have to be tormented by one trying to pit the other one against the other one, you know? And I wish it could be that way with everybody's situation. Unfortunately, it's not. But anyway, well, you've been so patient tonight. You've been diligent in sitting here. Why don't you stand and we'll close in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to preach and teach your word. Father, I know it goes beyond the people here tonight in this room. It goes out on CDs that somebody's going to listen to this message, you know, 2-3 years from now, and it'll bless them. Somebody will listen to this online, and it'll get their attention. Because it's you, Father. It's not about me. It's about God on a man, and God in a man, and God speaking through a man. So I thank you for the word, your word. You said you'd watch over your word to perform it. So I thank you, Father, and remind you that you said that and that you're going to perform that in the lives of these people that had hearing ears tonight and brought it into the good ground of their heart. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Thank you for coming out. We love you and God loves you. Tell somebody this week, God loves them.